There are signs, though. That's not one of them, though. I was just kidding. But it is good to see everybody this morning. I don't know about that. You might say, what are you doing? I'm just waiting. Because how many knows, no matter what we got to say or do without him, it means very little to nothing. It's the anointed one and his anointing, right, that removes every burden, that destroys every yoke of bondage. I guess if I was going to title this morning, I had like four or five titles, and I'm like, gosh, which one am I going to put on this? And I mean, that's just, you know, for reference if you're going to look it up on the internet or something. And sometimes it can help you to remember more of what the message was about if you have a title. But I guess I would call it the gospel. How many knows in the gospel, our gospel, I'm talking about Christianity, our God died for us. We don't have to die for him. He died for us. The Bible says while we were yet sinners. Now, and the Bible says not only did he die for us, but he went to hell. And on the third day, he rose again for us, right? For without that resurrection, there is no gospel. Because how many knows Buddha's still in the grave? Muhammad is still in the grave. All of those that call themselves God. Because how many knows there's many gods in this world. Even Satan himself, according to Scripture, is the god of this world. Right? The Bible says the prince of the power of the air. So there are many gods in the world, but how many knows there's only one true and living God? And he told Moses, he said, tell them that I am, that I am. He is the beginning, the in-between, and the absolute end. Amen? So in our gospel, our God died for us. According to Scripture, he came and took upon himself flesh, right? The Word. And the Bible says that God himself was in Christ reconciling the world to himself by his death on the cross. Amen? I'm trying to think of where maybe I want to go from here. Let's look at, let me get my glasses on. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Apostolic Christianity must come back to the church. What do I mean by that? Well, when you say apostolic, you go all the way back to the apostles. What did they preach and what did they teach? A lot of times today, and I'm not just talking about here in this house, I'm talking about all over the world because the gospel is being preached all over the world at different places. In some places, it's not yet. Because once that happens, the Bible says he's waiting on the precious fruit of the earth, right? He's coming back. When the last person that he knows is going to receive that gospel of Jesus Christ into their heart, except that we'll be out of here. Amen? So we got a job to do and we need to get it done. He said, occupy, do business is what that means. He says, until I come. And every one of us has been made preachers. That really bothers me when I hear people say, I'm not a preacher. Now, I know what you're meaning, but it ain't true. According to Scripture, every one of us has been given the ministry. If you've been born again, you are a preacher. When you look up the word preacher, it don't mean fivefold minister. I didn't say everybody was a prophet. I didn't say everybody was evangelist. I didn't say everybody was a pastor or a teacher, right, or an apostle. I said everybody, according to Scripture, has been made a preacher. The word preacher, when you look it up, he's here, amen. When you look it up, it means one who heralds a message. That's all it is. But then when I read the Bible, these that heralded messages that wasn't fivefold ministry, God did miracles. Y'all remember Stephen, right? I think it was Stephen. I'm trying to think now. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about when I say it. He's on the road over there and he comes across this eunuch and he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah. I'm in the book of Acts right now. Y'all remember the name of that one? Anyway, he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a fivefold ministry or anything. But the Lord told him, go join yourself to him. And he began to teach and to explain the book of Isaiah to him. And then the eunuch says, well, here's water. What's to forbid me? forbid me to be baptized. So he baptized him, and according to Scripture, then he was translated and found in Antioch. He wasn't a fivefold minister. But he was a preacher and teacher of the gospel. That is supposed to be every single one of us. So if somebody asks you if you're a preacher, you say, I sure am. And then you just let it rip. And I'm not talking about older people either. Listen, this gospel needs to be over here into this school, because I know good and well y'all know people that are not born again. I know good and well every one of us probably have family members that are not yet born again. Everybody at Walmart ain't saved, and I don't care what they say. You hear what I'm telling you? So every one of us is supposed to be preaching and ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you cannot minister what you don't know. So what I'm talking about when I say apostolic Christianity has to come back to the church, I'm talking about the preaching and the teaching and the doctrine that the apostles taught. I'm not talking about self-help groups. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about motivational speaking. There's too much of that being done to the church. So therefore, guess what? We raise up people that Jesus is just an add-on to my life. He's not my Savior and He's not my Lord. He's somebody that comes in here and is supposed to help me and make my life better. Beth, if you can turn me down just a little bit. I'm kind of loud to me. I don't know how I am to y'all. I don't mean to be, but I mean when he gets here, that's just how it comes out. Because before he comes, I'm kind of quieter. He comes and I get a little like Scotty. Last week I was up here and I seen a big wad of spit go doop on top of my Bible. I thought, good grief. But I'm talking about apostolic Christianity coming back to the church, to where we live the doctrines that we say that we believe. We preach and we teach a Jesus that came that you are a sinner. Y'all not saying nothing. Ministers, a lot of them, they don't want to say that anymore. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. And God forbid we continue to have these sinner-friendly seeking churches. I don't find where Jesus was sinner-friendly to seek out those to come to Him. They came. Right? He didn't have to go draw a crowd. That anointing draws people. But that anointing will also repel the Pharisee spirit. I was out here in the giveaway last month, you know, and I told y'all, they ain't a one of them getting by without I find out you saved for real. Anyway, this one woman, older lady, I asked them, her and her son was in there. I asked them if they had been saved, born again, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. You know what her answer was? I'm the daughter of a preacher. I said, that means absolutely nothing. I said, so was my son. You hear what I'm telling you? We have preached a lot of times this kind of stuff. But how many of us? There's only one way. And it's through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because when you get there, and then she began to tell me, Johnny, how for 16 years she taught children's church and she did this in the church. I said, I don't care, it means nothing. She would not shut up. I finally thought, I've got to move on to the next one. You know, I got to get my count done, and y'all going to have to help me with all this. I got to get my count done, and I mean, this is endless, going absolutely nowhere, and you are going to split hell wide open with that crap. Why? Because you're not going to get there in your works and your deeds, anything you've done in the church or you did not do, going to get us there. It's nothing except that's receiving that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for each one of us. That's all. Anything else, when you stand before Him, the Bible says even our own righteousness. See, a lot of people think He only came for the bad and the ugly. No, He did not. He came for those what this world and society claims is good. They told Jesus, they said, good master, what must we do, the rich young ruler? What must I do to be born, or not born again, but to receive the kingdom of God? He said, why do you call me good? You're talking about the Son of God Himself. He said, why do you call me good? He said, there's not none good but God. And how dare I try to compare anything that I have ever done of my own goodness to Him? It's just not going to stand. Right? So when we get there, that must be our testimony that has been applied to our lives. Or we're going to be cast out into outer darkness according to Scripture. Right? This is what I'm talking about, apostolic Christianity. It's not this Jesus that comes and helps me. It's not this Jesus that comes and gives me all my money and it's kind of like my little genie in the bottle that I rub anytime or that I talk to anytime that I want something or I need something. The gospel is an exchanged life. Right? Let's look here at let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. I thought I wanted to go to Acts there, but we might come back to it. I don't know. We done got beyond that one. Oh, he is so good. And he will help you. The Holy Spirit, he said that he is our helper. But he's not just coming to help make my life better. He comes to help me do the will of God. And when I do the will of God, my life prospers. It gets better. But at the same time, you've got heaven backing you up and you have got all hell that comes against you. Y'all not saying nothing. Well, we don't want that. You can't get out of it. Because once you get born again, you get brought over into the kingdom of light. You used to be darkness, but the Bible says now you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, his dear son. Well, have no wonder darkness is trying to stop you, because now you are marked in the spirit. There is light. You can't see it, but there is light, Sandy, when you get born again, that emanates out of you. The devil knows Jesus when he sees him. So when we get born again, we're marked. Why? Because he must shut you down. If his kingdom is going to continue wherever he's been ruling in darkness, according to Scripture, Ephesians 6:12. Right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. People's not the problem. People are influenced. People are some possessed, right? Some are highly influenced and all of that by the darkness. Well, our job is to come and to preach the gospel according to the word of God and let the glorious light of the gospel shine in to dispel that darkness. So if there is no preaching of the gospel, if he shuts you down, Sandy, his kingdom gets to continue to rule. And he knows it. People think he's stupid. He's not stupid. He was here way before time ever began. Before God ever wound up time and started creation here in the earth, he was. So he knows a lot more how this thing operates than I do. But he's no match for the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says he'll make us wise as serpents, but yet harmless as doves. He ain't got nothing on him. And he's in us. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you, Sandy, than he that is in this world. Because he's the God of this world. But we are supposed to be binding him up, shutting him down, and taking him up everywhere we go. But we can't do that without this apostolic Christianity. See, that's how come the apostles had no problem with him. Had no problem with people that served him. But yet at the same time, everywhere they went, everywhere Paul went, they had revival and they had riot. So every place we go, we should be having revival and riot. Because see, if the world loves me, Sandy, and they can hang out with me, then there's something wrong with my kind of Christianity. And I'm not talking about we're mean to people. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. But now I'm telling you, love will not spare your feelings. It'll tell you straight up to your face, you are a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior. That is the good news of the gospel, that you was a sinner and he came to save you. Amen? So let's look here in and then you'll get this. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. According to Scripture, you've already been judged. There's nobody going to go to hell for committing adultery. There's nobody going to go to hell for being an alcoholic. There's nobody going to go to hell for lusting on a woman. The reason why people's going to hell is the rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because until you receive him, all your sin is on you and you're going to pay for it, because God is a God of justice. And his justice says the penalty, the debt has to be paid. But he is so merciful and so good. The good news is, I loved you so much, I sent my son. And he took everything you ever done and would ever do for the entire world, because I loved you so much that you don't have to pay the price for that. That I, in Christ, paid it for you. But see, if we won't accept that, it won't be appropriated to our life. So therefore, when he comes or when we go to be with him, we must pay the price. Because see, God is a God of love, but you cannot forget he's also justice. He's righteousness. He's truth. Right? Kind of like a parent, and I mean, this is a minuscule thing to compare it to. You tell your kid, don't go play in the road. Because you know what could happen, Johnny. And you love that kid so much. They get out there in the road, you bring them back, and you tell them, you get out there in that road again, and I'm going to tear your tail up. Or however you say that, ground you, I don't know, nose in the wall. I don't know what you do. Anyway, some kind of form of deterrent for them playing in that road, right? That is the very same thing that God said to us. He told them to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, I give you everything here. He said, but that's mine and don't touch it. Then here come the devil with his lies, and he ain't got no new game. It's the same old thing, just repackaged, told a different way. That he came and spewed out his lies, and Eve, the Bible says, became deceived. Adam ate. When they ate of the thing that God told them not to do, then sin entered in. They lost the image and the glory of God, according to Scripture. So therefore, every person, God created Adam, which is mankind. He's the first, right? According to Scripture in Romans, the first Adam. Well, once he sinned, if he had not a sin, and everybody that was going to be born into the earth, guess what? They would have been born, Sandy, bearing the image and the likeness of God, clothed with the glory, just like Adam and Eve was. That was the intention of God. So you can't say anything else that is happening in this earth is him, because he showed us his true intention for mankind. But Adam and Eve messed that up. But God is so good. Before time even got started, he done made a way. The Bible says Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Right? Of this world. Well, once they sinned, they lost that image of God, Sandy. And every person born into the earth was born without that image and likeness of God. And according to Scripture, the devil is your father until you get born again. You are born with that sin nature. You can't help it. You ain't did nothing good. You ain't did nothing bad. You're born with that nature because you was born out of Adam. But the good news is, the Bible says in Romans, I believe it's chapter 5, says Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Right? That once we get over in him, we get born again. We get over in him. Then now, Sandy, the Bible says in Romans, I believe it's chapter 8, it could be 7. It says now, not talking, when it says predestined, it's not talking about people being predestined to be born again. It means those that have been born again are now predestined to bear the image and likeness of God again, Sandy. That's why we must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is a ruler in the kingdom of the Pharisees and stuff. He knows the law. The law was given not for us to live by, but according to Scripture, to show us a need for a Savior, because we could not keep it. That's why Jesus said, the law's good. It was necessary to show me my wrong, to show me I can't do it. And then the goodness and the love of God says, I know you couldn't, that's why I showed it to you so you could see it. But the good news is, Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law. Right? Praise God. Let me get to the Scripture here. I told y'all we may have bypassed it too. Woo! Don't you just love the Lord this morning? Oh, he's so merciful and so gracious. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where I'm going to go. That's first. Let's get over here to 2. These are very familiar scriptures to most of us probably. It says here in verse 17, how do I get that? Amplified. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, means you get born again, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. You have never been before once you get born again. I'm not talking about your outward man. I'm talking about on the inside. According to Scripture, before you get born again, you are dead to God. You get born again, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You come alive unto God, and now you can have a right relationship with Him. Amen? So he says that you're now a new creature, new creation altogether. He says the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, receiving us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. By that word, indeed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. That's why I said everybody's a preacher. When you get born again, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the ministry of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. You know why you don't have to teach a 3-year-old how to lie? Y'all ever, just for an example, y'all ever made some cookies and had them on the counter or a cookie jar or something or another? You got a 5 or 6-year-old, you go to the bathroom, you tell them, don't mess with them. You go to the bathroom and you come back and there's some missing. Ain't nobody there but you and them. And you ask them, did you eat the cookies? No. I did not eat the cookies. They've got chocolate all around the mouth, melted on the hands. Did you eat the cookies? No, I didn't eat the... They are born with that nature, Johnny. Now, little kids, they go to heaven when they pass away because they have not yet come to the knowledge of what is right and wrong and to be born again. And I can't tell you what age that is. I believe it's different for different people. But we're born with that nature, so therefore we must be born again. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, verse 20, he says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Be born again. He says, for our sake he made Christ virtually, notice this, to be sin who knew no sin. He was completely sinless, right? We was completely sinful. He goes on, he says, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God that we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him. How? By his goodness. So that's what I'm talking about. The gospel is an exchanged life. He was absolutely sinless, that was willing to die for me and you. Somebody that was complete sinful because we was born into sin. We cannot be anything else till we're born again. So when I accept everything, let's go over to Isaiah 53 before I get too far. I don't think I've made one self-help statement yet. I'm not going to. I can't help myself. That was the whole point. You can't either. But here in Isaiah 53, I'm going to read this. I didn't want to read the whole thing in the Amplified. Might as well, I guess. Verse 1. Who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us. Now, this is a prophecy about Jesus coming, and we know that starting in Matthew, he already came, right? So he says, clung to our message of that which was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the servant of God, he's talking about Jesus, grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, royal, kingly pomp, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire of him. Now, I believe it's Philippians or Colossians 1 talked about that he stripped himself of being God, right? Laid aside his glory and came in the form of a man. For me and you, right? Now he goes on and he says here, verse 3, notice what happened to him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, so we don't have to be. God said once we get born again, He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. In Proverbs, He said, there's one that sticketh close to you, closer to you than a brother. Right? But yet He was forsaken. He was rejected. So we don't have to be. See, it wasn't just the death on the cross. It was also the separation from His Father that had never been, that He took for us. He said, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we did not appreciate His worth or have any esteem for Him. Surely He has borne our griefs, our sicknesses. And listen, it wasn't just His our sin that He took. It says right here, our sicknesses, our griefs, our sorrows, our pains, whether they be mental pains, heart pains, or physical pains. He took them, right? It goes on and it says, and distress our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered Him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain my peace and your peace and well-being for us was upon Him. And with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has made to light upon Him the guilt and iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when He was afflicted, He was submissive and opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. He did this willingly. He said over there in John, I believe it was, He said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down. He said, and if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. It says, open not His mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who among them considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken to His death for the transgression of my Isaiah's people, to whom the stroke was due. In other words, we deserved it. And they assigned Him a grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. Did you hear that? He made him sick. Listen, every sickness and disease that there has ever been and ever will be came on Him that day. COVID, that they just come out with a few years ago, that they put a name to it, came on Him. Because it's a one-time thing. God knew everything, every sickness, every disease that would ever be entered into the earth. And the Bible says here, He put it on Him. Why? Because God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to be sick. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be wealthy. He wants all of these things for us. His goodness. Do you understand? Love can't help itself but to express itself in goodness. And the Bible says in 1 John 4, 8, God is love. He doesn't just have it. He is love. According to 1 John 5, God is light. And in Him there's no darkness at all. So He couldn't help it. And because He loved us so much, Jesus, He sent Jesus to do all this. And Jesus loved the Father and us so much, He said, I'm willing, I'll pay the price. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before Him. By faith, Sandy, He took all this on Himself. There's no other way He could have done it. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. For the joy that it brought Him to be the reconciling, the propitiation for all of this for me and you is why He did it. Didn't nobody make Him do it? Oh, I'm telling you, if that don't turn your heart to Him, I don't know what will. But see, according to Scripture, the god of this world, which we know to be Satan, the Bible says, has blinded the hearts and minds of people. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in and they be saved. They be born again. It is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to unblind the hearts and minds of people. I'm talking about the true gospel. I'm not talking about this self-help motivational speaking and ain't going to say that you a sinner because we might offend. I hope you do get offended. Cindy, if I was never shown that I was a sinner, if I think I'm okay, why would I ever turn? If I'm good, why would I change? Why would I need change? I'm good. Right? So it must be preached. And we're not judging people and we're not putting people down. We was at one time exactly where they are. I mean, I'm telling you, Johnny, your pastor was one of the... Well, I wouldn't say he was meaner than any of the rest of us, but I'm telling you, he is something else. And he could not see it. He thought he was all that in a bag of chips, and if you didn't like it, get on your horse and get out of here, because he's the best thing ever happened to this world, and he's always right. But Sandy, when the Holy Ghost came and you kept praying for us and that church kept praying for us and the Holy Ghost began to deal with us, we'd sit out there on our front porch and Travis, he's just a little boy and he's beginning to learn how to talk and we've did it so much, now he knows. Because we'd say, you ready to go smoke or go smoke? And what that meant was, I mean, we smoked pot every day from the time we woke up till we went to bed. I mean, that was just, I mean, that's more than eating because you eat breakfast, smoke pot, you don't eat no more because the buzz is gone. I mean, that was from the time we woke up till we went to bed. So we'd say, you ready to go smoke or whatever? So we'd go out on the front porch in the swing, and Travis, he'd start saying, smoke, smoke. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Because that is so much. He knows what's happening. Now, he don't know what that is. And we would sit there, we would smoke pot. And that's not counting the other stuff. I mean, this was just everyday occurrence. And we would smoke pot, and we would say to each other, God, we need to change. And then Travis is saying that in a bit. God, we need to change. It's like the darts of the Holy Ghost just keep coming and coming and coming. But we don't know what's happening. And ain't nobody preaching the gospel to us. And they keep coming and keep coming. And we think, God, we need to change. And then we tell each other, we need to go to church because we don't know what else to do. But the Holy Ghost is trying to get it to us, Johnny. I got Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. See, he doesn't say you need God. There's many gods, and they're all over the place. But he says, you need my son. He's the one you got to meet. He's the one, I'm telling you. All these other different, Sandy, we are the only one that has the son that died for us. The Quran is love. That God has no son. We, the born again Christians, we are the ones, Sandy, that has the son. And if you don't believe on him, you are not and cannot be born again. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. He said, and I am the life. And according to Scripture, the Bible says, me and you, Sandy, escape the wrath of God to come by his life. Not by our good works or anything else, but by his life. That life that he shed, that we accept that sacrifice, and then now when we do wrong, there's something in there that says, I don't want to do that, Lord. Forgive me. If you did it 100 times a day, there's still something on the inside of you that you don't want to do that anymore. Anyway, we'd be sitting out there saying that to each other. You know, God, we need to change. God, we need to go to church. We need to do different. And all it is the Holy Ghost is showing us. Because we can't see it. We're blinded. Anyway, I don't know why this was coming up, but it was. Now, most of y'all have heard a lot of our story, and there's some things you haven't heard, and I hope you never do, because, I mean, they're just terrible. I mean, really, do y'all really want y'all's movie of y'all's life played on y'all's forehead for us to watch? I don't think so, but anyway, there was things that I had done that Scotty didn't know about and different things like that, and I'm telling you, I don't know why I had to do this, but one night I'm sitting there and I'm reading the Bible, Lamentations. I mean, good Lord, could you read any worse? But it's this drawing to church and the Bible and all this stuff. I don't know what to do, but I just know I need to read the Bible. So I'm reading the Bible one night. I'm reading this. And it was like you see in the cartoons. I'm sitting there, Sandy, on the couch. And it's like an angel or the Holy Ghost is sitting here on this side. And it is like a demon or the devil himself is sitting on this side. And I'm reminded of this stuff. And all of a sudden, here this one says, tell him. And I know what they're talking about, tell him. Talking about tell Scotty. He's in the bed asleep. He's got to go to work. Said, tell him. Then over here on this, don't tell him. You tell him he's going to get mad, he's going to blow up. It's blah, 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 blah. It's gonna, you know what it's going to be? All this stuff. Then here it is. Tell him. Don't tell. I mean, it is like I am in a tug of war. Tell him, don't tell him, tell him, don't tell him, just over and over and over. Till I mean, I couldn't take it no more. I said, forget it. I got up, went in there, woke him up, and I just told him, I thought, whatever happens, happens. Do you know the Bible says confession is made unto salvation? I don't know why I had to do that, but see, it was darkness. Sandy, the devil would have had something to operate on me on after I gave my life to him because Scotty didn't know about it. And that's what he does. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren, and he is legalistic. Anyway, I told him. Right after that, he gets born again. He's down there. He works at the dairies, milking cows. Y'all have heard the story. He cries for 4 hours. You know why he cried for 4 hours? Because according to Scripture, the skills that had blinded his heart and mind to where he couldn't see him had been lifted. And through the eyes of the Lord, he saw himself for the first time in his life. And the things that he had done and the people that he had hurt and how he had been. And he was so hurt and so sorrowful over that till he cried for 4 hours. And accepted Jesus. Everybody has to come to that place. I'm not saying you got to cry for 4 hours. But you must see yourself that you are in a need for a Savior. And I'm telling you, that's where me and you come in to pray for people. And I'm not talking about asking God. Most of the time when you say prayer, that's what people think. I'm not talking about that. It is me and you, according to Scripture, what is it, Matthew 16, that talks about me and you have been given the keys of the kingdom. Right? He said, whatever you bind, whatever I bind, born again binds. What's that mean? No, this is as far as you go. You will go no further right here. Right? Y'all not saying nothing. See, the devil has been let loose to do whatever we let him do. You can't blame it on him. Because if I was him, I would do the same thing. So we have to bind that enemy. Jesus told them whenever he was casting out devils, y'all remember, Jesus told them, because they said, he's casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He said, if you're going to cast out a devil, you must first bind the strong man. So what's he saying? I'm greater than the devil that's operating through them, and I bind him. So what am I talking about? Through prayer, I'm talking about through decreeing and declaring our God-given authority over these people. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the principalities according to Ephesians 6, right? I'm talking about the ones in Daniel's day that stopped him from getting his answer. That Michael had to come and help. Listen, there is unseen forces in the earth at all times. Just like that night I was telling you about, it was like an angel or something sitting on this side. I'm lost and there's a battle going on for my soul. Same thing is happening out here. And Sandy is one of the ones that's in a battle for my soul. And we're about to wear her out. According to her, she's about win her limit. But see, don't let that happen to you. Because when that starts happening, they are right on the edge. And the devil knows it, and that's why he turns it on. But what I'm talking about is me and you have the authority over principalities and powers. The rulers, the Bible says, of the darkness, right? It's the darkness that has blinded their hearts and their minds. And we have authority, according to Scripture in Ephesians 6, to take authority. That's why he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sandy, you wasn't fighting against me. You're fighting against the unseen forces that I'm being influenced and controlled by. So all the time, according to Scripture, the Bible says angels are sent to me and you, right, to minister to the heirs of salvation, the word of the Lord, right, that they hearken to His voice. Well, that's they're going on all the time. They're in here right now. But also demons are in here right now to distract you, to get you blinded to where you don't hear. Let the door open, turn around, then you miss whatever's said. Or think about the chicken you got on or something other, or the birthday party you got to go to after church. All the time there is a battle for our hearts and our minds, even after we're born again. That's why a lot of times we need to quit praying to God, because He never said pray to God, we'll do something about the devil. He never said that. He said, I give you authority. You go in my name. You cast him out. You shut him down. You bind him up. You don't let him do it. God has really been dealing with me about the demon possessed here lately. I have never seen them in the life that I do. Sandy, I'm telling you, it's like my heart just breaks for them, because I can't imagine the torment. Is oppressed, depressed, in foot. I've never been possessed. And my life was terrible. To where I'm waiting on him to show up, Johnny. Because you ain't going to walk in the authority that we walk in and exercise it in here without him trying to come and shut us down. I'm just waiting. I hope you do. That better be the attitude of every one of us. Because if not, he's already got your number with fear. And he is no match for us, because the greater one lives on the inside of us. The one that delegated us that authority. The one that already whooped his tail all over and made a public display of him. So what would we have to fear? And if we really love people, we don't want them bound. And if we're going to do the will of God, we must set them free. There's nothing more precious to Jesus. Nothing than people. That and the church, that is what he gave his very life for. So we need to quit praying and asking God to do something, and we need to get about the business. And I'm not saying we're not. I'm talking to people all over the world. I would say probably I might have been one of the chief ones in here not to be about the business, because I don't want to deal with nobody. Getting me out of my comfort zone. Ah, get on my last nerve. A lot of different reasons. Fear. I just can't do it. I just can't talk to people. Well, in you, you can't. But you're not in you. You're in him and he's in you. And if his word abides in you, he said, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Right? Then no more can we allow sickness and disease. Come in this morning and something other. Beth told me something about Travis had a virus or something. I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, it's a devil. Do you hear what I said? It's a devil. All sick. This right here. We just got the reading. Jesus took on him all sickness, disease. Right? So we don't have to have it. And it wasn't in the garden. God didn't create it. Anyway, come in. Beth told me something about Aubrey saying she took Travis's virus or something. Or I don't know. I told her, I said, don't, and as stern as I can, I said, don't you ever say that again. I said, that is a demon and we don't take it. Did you hear what I said? I don't care if it is a sniffle. You stand, according to Ephesians, says we stand, don't we? We resist, don't we? We resist the devil and what? He runs in terror, one translation says. But if you don't resist him, he'll stay. All sickness and disease is of the devil. So therefore, all sick, I don't care if it is a sniffle. You stand right up in the face of it. I resist you in the name of Jesus. You ain't coming here. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I belong to God. I am housing Him, and there ain't no room for you. That's what I'm talking about, apostolic Christianity. You ain't afraid of Him. And whatever He tries to do, you shut Him down. We don't let Him do. Right? In your life, in the life of other people that we can do. Now, if they tell you, don't pray for me, well, don't put no hands on them. Get out of their sight, and I mean let the devil have it. Because if you was in your right mind and heart, why wouldn't you want prayer? If you was in your right heart and mind, why wouldn't you want Jesus? But see, they're not. That's why we are the ones that have to take authority over the unseen forces at all times, because they're operating whether you think they are or not, and they hope you don't know it. Because what you don't know, the devil will beat your brains out with. But God is faithful to get the word to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened, right? Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel, he didn't quit praying. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. The Bible says 21 days, right? How come, Johnny, he didn't get his answer the first day? According to Scripture, Gabriel said, I heard you and the answer was sent the moment you prayed. Now who are we fighting over there? That same territorial spirit that's been there this whole time that prevented Daniel from getting his answer. Right? Do you realize that was the Persians over there? But God's setting them free, the people. He's setting them free because it's been illegal to be a Christian over there. You die. But anyway, he said, Gabriel told him, the angel that you cannot see, he said, I heard you. I was sent with your answer, Daniel, as soon as you prayed. He said, but the prince of Persia, we could say the power of the air, right? Ephesians 6, some of them over there, the rulers of the darkness that don't want the light coming, he prevented me. I've tried to whoop him and I couldn't do it. He said, oh, but Michael came. And here's your answer, because we finally got through. That's why you can't just quit praying. That's how come you got to take authority. Because there's some people, they're praying. They don't know who God is. They don't know nothing about Jesus, but they are ready. You understand? Their hearts is ready, but the devil is still tormenting them. He's still got authority over them, and they need to be loosed. And it is me and you. It is the church. We are the only ones that has the power of God to do that. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share before we close? All right, we'll raise this to 11.